The message that never changes. Glory to God. You can package it up however you choose, but it's still the same message. Glory to God. Still the precious blood of Jesus that cleanses, washes us from every iniquity. Amen. Had it not been for the man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians, this morning. Two portions of scripture I want to read for your in your hearing this morning. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. We've been talking about revival and refreshing, renewing. I'd like to continue that this morning. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent, ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, I'll read another scripture here in just a minute. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Since Adam and Eve, people have chosen to sin and to experience a broken relationship with the Lord. You say, well, we're sinners because we've sinned. No, we sin because we're sinners. But I want you to understand this morning that God does not leave us in that condition. But God is on a mission. Hallelujah. God's on a mission this morning to reach the lost souls, to reach lost humanity, and to bring men and women back into a right relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's God's goal, period. There are other things that happen along the way. We get healed, we get provision gets made for us, we get a lot of things added to us, but God's mission in this world is to win the lost. And I want to try my best this morning to help us to understand how God, or understand God's plan to accomplish reconciliation in our hearts and in our lives. He's chosen to work through people. He could have done it all himself. He could have just said, I'll tell you, nobody's going to have to preach. Nobody's going to have to witness. Nobody will have to testify. You don't have to do anything. I'm going to do it all myself. But God chose to use people to accomplish His will. He dealt with Abraham first, spoke to his life, gave him some guidance and direction. He moved and began to speak with the nation of Israel and gave them guidance and direction how they should live their lives. And then He brought it right down to where we live, the Church of Jesus Christ, this morning. And He intends for us to accomplish the mission that He set His church to accomplish at the beginning. Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Why are we here? Just to take up space, Brother Willie. No, that's not the reason that we're here. We're here to win the lost, to get a message of Jesus Christ into their hearts and their lives. And if God can bring revival to Landmark Tabernacle, then souls will be saved. Glory to God. What plan can we come up with to get somebody to get saved? What program can we use? What new means and abilities can we find to reach the lost? You know what? Revival always works. When the church gets revived, then awakening comes and people get saved. In the 1920s, early 1920s, Christian missionaries to North China were grieving about the spiritual condition of not only of themselves, but of the church in China at that point in time. It said, they said that many of the members were very lax in their relationship with the Lord, and they began to wonder if people had just given mental assent to Christianity and they really weren't being born again. And so in 1920, missionaries and Chinese leaders began to devote one day a month to fasting and prayer that God would bring about revival in the church. In March of 1927, the Southern Revolutionary Army burned Nanking, and all the missionaries were commissioned or they were ordered to leave that area. And so the mission, God, oh hallelujah. You know what? God works sovereignly. And God accomplishes things that nobody else can get accomplished. And through the process of what was happening, all of the missionaries in northern China were sent to one area, into one place. And I'm not even going to try to pronounce the names of the cities that were there. But while they were there, a group of the missionaries asked a lady by the name of Marie Monsoon, an evangelical Lutheran from Norway, to join their prayer times and just seeking God's will and what God would have them as missionaries to do and to be able to accomplish. And so she began to preach, or she began to caution them and to spur the missionaries and to get right with God and to get themselves right with one another. And they literally spent days and nights in prayer and fasting and waiting and praying in the presence of the Lord. And during that special time, one of the missionaries that were there was legally blind. Her name was Ola Culpepper. And in the process of these prayer meetings, God literally healed her and brought a complete restoration of her sight. And in the middle of their rejoicing, God began to convict the missionaries that He wanted to do something in China, and He wanted to do it through this group of missionaries that had committed themselves to pray and to fast. Marie began to ask the church at that time, especially the missionaries, she asked them three questions. Number one, she said, "Have you been born of the Spirit?" Number two, "What evidence do you have of your new birth?" And number three, "Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost?" I'm talking in the early 1920s. She began to question them, and God began to speak to their hearts and their lives. Amen. They continued to pray. They continued to wait in the presence of God, and God began to start revival among those missionaries. They were not content now to just proclaim a message, but they had to see somebody change and their lives revived. By 1932, revival began to spread. And then the church began to be energized. And then many came to realize that they only had a head knowledge of Christianity, and they come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Revival began to come to the churches, and then saved people everywhere began to proclaim the message and begin to let others know what Jesus had done for them. Those who turned from to Christianity, from their religions, begin to burn their household idols. They begin to rid themselves of things that were hindering them. The hearts of people, of God's people, got full of praise and rejoicing because what God had done. And then the believers had a hunger for the Word of God. They begin to memorize and put the Word of God in their hearts. And the spiritually dead churches were revived. Why? Because the missionaries said, "We're going to repent. We're going to seek the face of God. We're going to bring ourselves to where God wants us to be. And when we do, revival will come to the church." Folks, I've been smitten in my heart. And then I've been endeavoring to prepare myself. And then to reach God with all of my heart. And I trust that our leadership in our church is seeking that same direction, that God would speak in our hearts and our lives until that revival begins to come, not only in the leadership's heart, but in the hearts of our church. God, excuse me, God wanted a people that He could have fellowship with, that he could enjoy a relationship with, that he could enjoy spending time with him. The Bible said that God came to Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. Every day he came. He loved spending time with them. He enjoyed being in their presence. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 said that God looked across all that he had created and he said, "It's good." Hallelujah. He said, it's good. I like what I see. He loved his human creation. He loved what he had put on this earth. He loved all that was there. And before sin entered the world, the relationship between man and God was a beautiful thing. It was a peaceful thing. And then God would come and speak with Adam and Eve. Nothing separated them. Nothing pulled them away from God. There was no shame. There was no guilt. There was no fear. There was no depression. There was none of these things. They had a pure relationship with God. They had a pure relationship one with another. And God looked at all these things and he said, it's a good thing. Amen. And God desired to walk with Adam and Eve. He desired to spend time with them. He desired to grow in that relationship with them. Folks, his primary request for us today is that we would love him and that we would serve him and that relationship would be greater than it has ever been before. Amen. That there would be an edge, so to speak, on our relationship with him. Amen. That it not just be a casual acquaintance. It not just be something we've heard about, but it would be something that would challenge our very hearts and our lives. But also from the very beginning, God gave his creation a choice. He said, "This is my will. But you have to make the choice." That's why he left the tree in the garden. They are the ones who had to make the choice. Amen. His creation chose the way of death and the way of sin, of disobedience and rebellion. Amen. Folks, and because of that, it brought about penalties. It brought about some difficult situations in the hearts and lives of men and women. Amen. They chose to disobey God. Amen. And to suffer the consequences of their sin. And in that process, their beautiful relationship was broken away from God. Amen. They were cast out of the garden. They had to work by the sweat of their brow. There was difficulty and pain in childbirth. And all of these things transpired because of that broken relationship with God. But Adam and Eve chose to walk independently from God and from his commands. And the consequences ultimately of that choice was death. And ever since then, people have chosen to sin. At some point, at some time, God, all the people have chosen to rebel and to go against Jesus Christ himself. All this, according to the scriptures, the Bible said that we are dead in our trespasses and our sins. We are dead in those things. We're separated from God. We have no relationship with him whatsoever. And then the Bible speaks of our need for redemption, our need of a Savior, our need of a change in our hearts and in our lives. Amen, folks, there needed to be a redemption. Amen, but God was not caught off guard at that point in time. For God had a plan. Hallelujah. Amen, it was not to leave man in their sin and in their iniquity and their transgression. Amen, but God had provided redemption. Hallelujah. Amen, God's deliverance of a person from the guilt and the power of sin through the death of his son, Jesus Christ. That it always been God's plan. And he wants his people, he wants people to come to a right relationship with him. 2 Peter 3 and 9 said, God is no respecter of persons. I mean, no respect. And it's his will. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He desires for every one of us to come back. So when God sent his own son to pay the death penalty, he didn't say, "I'm just coming for this specific family," or "I'm just coming for that individual," or "I'm going to pay the price for that one." But folks, he came to pay the price for all of humanity. Amen. He came to pay the price. And you know what happens when God saves us? He brings us back into that perfect, wonderful love relationship with Him. Amen, folks. The Bible said there is therefore now no condemnation to him that walks not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And because of that relationship, I can lay down at night and close my eyes and go to sleep and know that if I die before I wake the next morning, that I'll be in the presence of an almighty God. Folks, God did not forget humanity. And could I just remind you tonight or this morning, God has not forgotten humanity. God, the relationship was broken. Sin entered in. But God, in His mercy, hallelujah, He continued to reach humanity. He continued to make provision. And He still continues to do that this morning. We choose to sin. We're dead in our sins. Christ paid the ransom for all of our sins. And when we repent of our sins and we place our faith in Him, the Bible said God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin, to wash away all of those iniquities. You say, Brother William, you're sounding like it's all bad. It was bad, folks. I can't imagine what it must have been the day that God put Adam and Eve out of the garden. I can't understand how bad it must have been. But oh, can you imagine how bad it must have been that day when Jesus hung on the cross and God the Father had to look down from heaven on His only Son hanging on a cross with all the sin of the world. Amen. What made Him do it? Well, He's God. He didn't have a choice. He just had to do it. No, it's because He loved me, Brother Doug. Hallelujah. Amen. It's because He cared about me. Could I just tell somebody here this morning, amen, that God is on a mission to get you. Amen. You say, God don't care about me, Brother Willie. God doesn't care about whether you're wrong, sir. You're wrong, ma'am. God has a mission, and His own only goal today is to reach your soul. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Amen. Folks, the seriousness of sin was that, you know what, we live in a world that does not consider sin as a serious thing. It's just something that's there and we just live with it and we go on our way and don't worry about it. Folks, there's consequences to living that life. There's consequences to that broken relationship. There's consequences for the sin and all that's there. But just as much as there were consequences, God told the serpent, He said, and she shall bruise thy head. Hallelujah. Amen. There would be a reason. There would be a position. There would be a place be taken that could literally change our hearts. And in our lives, you read in the book of Genesis chapter 12, amen. And now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, and into land that I will show thee. Listen what he was doing. He was attempting to restore a relationship. He was attempting to bring man back into the right way. He dealt with Adam and Eve on a personal basis. Now he was bringing with the nation, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and then make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Folks, God was working on that relationship. It was His mission to reach the lost souls. The focus is on God and His activity and what He was trying to do. Well, Brother Willie, wasn't He just trying to do something special with Abraham here and then exalt Abraham and make Abraham? No. He was purifying a people so that He could send His Son. Amen. And make restitution in their hearts and in their lives. In the call of Abram, God was setting in motion His plan to redeem the world. That's what He always intended to do. Amen. That's how He always intended to have it. The reason God came to Abraham was because He wanted to do it through him. God asked Abraham to follow Him. Abraham said, I don't understand all that's going on here. But the Bible said he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And Abraham sought God. And then he heard from the Lord. God gave him guidance and direction. It was a number of years before he heard from him again. And it was a number of years before he heard him again. But he followed God just the same. And I believe with all my heart that was the reason that God delayed. He was wanting to see if Abraham, and I understand God knew it all along. But perhaps God was attempting to prove to Abraham that his faithfulness was there. His hand was there. It was there in every situation. Exodus chapter 19 and verse number 3. It said, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say unto the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. And I, listen right here. And how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar, what? A peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. And sounds like I'm reading in the New Testament. A kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. He dealt with Adam and Eve. He dealt with Abraham. He dealt with the nation of Israel. He wanted them to know what he was trying to do. That he was about bringing about a mission. He was about bringing a Savior and ultimately change everything. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 6. He said, for thou art a holy people. Why do you think God's put us down here? Because it looks so nice when you drive down the highway and you see a nice little church down in the valley. And it's so peaceful when you drive by and there are little children out in the front playing. It just makes a wonderful picture. That's not the reason God put us here. God put us here as a lighthouse in a dark and a dingy world. Why? Because God's reasoning, everything God does is to bring somebody back to Him. Everything He does is to bring somebody back to Him. You say, oh, I'm singing so I'll encourage the church, and that's great and wonderful, but ultimately ought to be to reach some lost soul. That's the reason we teach Sunday school. That's the reason we have choir practice. That's the reason we have young people's meetings. That's the reason we have a school, so we can reach somebody and get the message of Jesus Christ to them. And when revival comes, we'll be consumed. He said, do you remember how I brought you back to myself? That's God's goal. That's His mission. It's to bring us back into Him. Israel had been called. Do you remember when God told the whole nation of Israel, He said, I want you to sanctify yourself for 3 days, and after that period of time, come to the mountain, and I'm going to speak with you. And they did that. They prepared themselves. The whole nation prepared themselves. They went to the mountain, and they heard God speak, and they ran back down the mountain. They said, we changed our mind, Moses. We'd rather God just speak to you, and then you tell us what He said. You know what God's intent was? To make all Israel priests. To make all Israel a nation that was a light unto the whole world. To use every one of them as a light, as a witness, as a priest. But they said, no, we don't want it. We'll just let one man do it. Folks, it's not for one man to do this morning. It's for every one of us. God intends for every man, woman, boy, and girl at Landmark Tabernacle to be a soul rescuer. A soul winner. That's His goal. That's His desire in our hearts and our lives. And God began to establish those covenants with Israel. And He established the covenant with the church. And He said, this is the way we're going to do it. This is the way we're going to run it. And these new relationships were based on faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, not on keeping the law. Hallelujah. You can keep all the law you want and die and go to hell. But if you get saved, you want to live right. Hallelujah. Keeping the law is a result of following Jesus Christ and having a relationship. You live like you live because you want to please Him that's washed you and cleansed you and saved you. Amen. We're not here just to get folks to do it like we do it. Except that they get saved. And there's only one way to be saved. And that's through the precious blood of Jesus. He said, my church is a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation that should show forth the glory of Him who's called us out of darkness. Folks, that's why we have services like we did last Sunday. That's why we had service like we did Wednesday night. Oh, why? So we could just be pumped up and be excited and be thrilled about it. No, so we could take it to the world. Glory to God. So the world can see that we're enjoying serving God. That our relationship has been restored with Him. That we're a church that loves God with all of our heart. We're not afraid to worship and glorify Him. But neither are we afraid to roll up our sleeves and get down in the nitty gritty with those who are lost and undone. And share this wonderful message with them. That's what happens when revival comes. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. The song, and I'm just about to close. It says, 'twas His blood, His precious blood, that stained the old rugged cross. 'Twas His love that paid the awful cost. Oh, soul so far astray, come and plunge today. You know what? Some folks just want to put a little drop on their head and say, that'll work. Oh, just put a little drop on my hand there and that'll take it. No, no, no. Come and plunge today in the blood that stained the old rugged cross. It still says there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins and sinners plunged beneath the blood lose all their guilty stains. Oh, no, I don't, it's just a little bit too messy. We don't know the half of it. We're on the receiving end here. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge, and if one die for all, then were all dead. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but in Him which died for them and rose again. And verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That original relationship that had been broken and destroyed and taken away has been restored. Christ's mission has been accomplished. Hallelujah. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and had given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I'm not going to read it all. But skip down verse 1, chapter 6. Verse. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. What does He mean by that? I think He might mean that we don't just get saved and sit on the pew and never tell anybody else about it. If that's God's reason for everything, then that ought to be my reason. Say, Brother Lee, I wish you'd preach on something besides salvation. Well, I probably won't. Because my goal is to see somebody get saved. Hallelujah. And you know what? If somebody will get saved, then they'll get hungry and they'll want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If we'll live it and we'll exercise it in front of them, they'll want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I won't have to bust tides, or as they say, bust tides. I won't have to just come down the holiness row and preach on it all. You know why? Because folks will begin to love God and they'll want to get rid of those things that don't apply to their lives or that hinders them in any way. Amen. Folks will get healed. Why? Because somebody's getting saved and the church is doing her rightful job. That's why we're wanting revival. So souls will be saved and lives will be changed. I promise I'm really closing. John chapter 15. John 15 and verse 5. I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Verse 15 or verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it thee. God's on a mission. God's on a mission. And his mission, number one, is that souls would be saved. And number two, it's that the church be in such a state of revival that they cannot help but have fruit. what's your idea? What's your goal here? It would just suit me fine to just have this building cram-packed full with new converts, to where the regular folks had to stand up around the wall. Oh, that's scary, Brother Willie. You know what? It's scary because it takes some work on the part of us that's here. You've never known what work is till you start discipling a new convert and trying to answer their questions and trying to get them some clarification, get them some understanding. You can get mad and pout and all that, but it won't accomplish anything. It won't help you or help them either. You just have to work them through it. You just have to teach them. You just have to lead them. You have to guide them. And you have to tell them again and tell them again. And they come back and they say, "No, I didn't understand what you said 14 times before. Could you tell me one more time again?" But you know what we do? Because we're revived, we tell them again. And we tell them again. And we say, "Lord, continue reviving us. Glory to God. Continue reviving us. Continue contending for continuous revival in our hearts and our lives." Stand with me this morning, would you? Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're endeavoring to do our best to get ourselves in a place we need to be. Lord, we're endeavoring to repent, so that when the times of refreshing come, we're ready. Lord, our understanding is that you intend for us to be a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Lord, that we should further that commission to win somebody. Lord, that's what we intend to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. If the Lord came knocking at your door this afternoon and said, "Would you like to win a soul this afternoon?" What would you say? "Well, Lord, I'm really kind of tired. I really am going to take a nap, or I'm going to spend time with my family." And I'm not trying to make anybody feel, but I'm just using illustration. If that really were to happen, would we be available? Do you know enough of this book to lead somebody to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. If you don't, you ought to get a hold of your Bible. Go through the book of Romans. Find out what it says, so you can lead somebody to the Lord. Have a testimony of your own. You may not ever even can remember the book of Romans when you get to talking to somebody, but surely you can remember your own testimony how the Lord dealt with you, how He spoke to you, how He changed your life. Folks may argue with the Bible, but they can't argue with your testimony, with a changed life. They can't argue with that. So I'm just asking us this morning, could we purpose in our hearts today? Lord, help us to fulfill that commission to reach to the lost. I'm going to invite you to the altar this morning. You make your commitments to the Lord. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I invite you to come with those that are coming this morning. We want revival. We want revival in church. When we come to the house of God, we want His presence to be here. But we also want to take revival to our job, to the school, to the location, the stores where we go. We want revival to come into our hearts and our lives. I invite you into the presence of the Lord this morning. You'd like to pray around the front, please come. You want to pray at your pew, feel free to do that this morning. Let's open our hearts to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.